You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
All right, hey, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, it's in your New Testament. So we're going to continue our series. We're diving right in. Continue our message series we've been in called Presence. So a few days just before this new year began, I heard God speak very clearly about what he is going to do in 2019. Actually, I really believe it's already begun. I believe he's spoken about the things that he is up to right now in our lives. And so if you were with us, you'll remember that I heard God speak to me in a dream. And what he said at first sounded a little funny, but just stick with me. This is what I heard God say. He said, "Brandon, I'm going to pour out such a cloud." And by the way, that is literally what happened in this town this whole entire week. How about that fog, somebody? I guess I'm a prophet. These are jokes. Nobody's impressed at all with that, are they? Come on. We'll move on. All right. Nobody's laughing at my jokes. Come on. We doing okay? All right, okay, so I know the word cloud sounds a little bit funny, but here's what we have seen throughout this series, that clouds in the Bible represent the presence of God among his people, that from a spiritual and oftentimes literal perspective, the presence and the power and the authority and the blessings and the guidance and the covering and the goodness and even the witness of who God is often manifests itself or shows up in the form of a cloud. And so please catch this. God said he's going to pour out such a cloud, not an average cloud, not just a little bit. Listen, I believe God was speaking about what he wants to do in our church, which means this: he really wants to pour out his presence and his power and his authority and his covering and his blessings and his goodness and his guidance. He wants to pour those things out into your life in not an average way, not a little way, but in exceeding ways, in surprising ways, in ways like you've never experienced before. And I also believe this, we're going to talk about this today, but God wants your witness of him, the life that you live that represents God to this world around you. He wants that to grow. He wants you to experience that in exceeding and even surprising in new ways like you never have before. And so we've been talking for the last 2 weeks about how we can enter into and then remain in the presence of God, but also how we can make more room for him, okay? And so last Sunday, we focused heavily on the manifest presence of God, that presence of God where you just know you're in the room with Jesus, kind of like many of us just experienced right now as we were worshiping together, right? Where you can just sense that God is here with us. And so if you'll remember last week, little brother James, Jesus's little brother James, he told us how we can actually get close to God in James chapter 4, how we can enter into, how we can remain and make more room for the presence of God, how we can actually live close to God, live in that kind of presence daily. He said, here's what we have to do. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We have to live lives of humility before God. And so listen, we'd say it this way. It's an attitude or it's a lifestyle of repentance that we have to live. It's owning our sin before God. But more than that, it's also wanting to do things God's way. Listen to me, saying yes to God and submitting to him and obeying him, come on, makes more and more and more and more room for the presence of God in your life, right? It gets you deeper and deeper and deeper into the midst of the cloud, into the midst of his presence. I mean, just think about it. More obedience means more presence, right? But saying no to God or not doing what he tells us to do, or willful disobedience, that's when we find ourselves leaving the presence of God, not living in the presence of God. And I think we all know from experience that that's true. Is that right? Come on, but you know I got good news for you today, right? You know I got something encouraging. All right, here it is. Listen, you may have left the presence of God. You may have missed out on the presence of God. You may have never even entered into the presence of God before, but that doesn't mean you can't right now. Come on, listen, Jesus loves you. God loves you. He's not here to hold your past against you. He's here to be close to you. He wants to pour out his presence into your life like never before. In fact, James says that if we will humble ourselves, if you will humble yourself, then God himself will lift you up in honor. He will carry you. He will hold on to you. He'll be with you. He'll bless you in real time, in everyday living. So, church, is it possible for you and I to consistently live in that manifest, that made known, that real presence of God where he's just with us all the time? Is that possible? Yes, it is. But we have to choose humility to live there. Okay, and so I want to show us today what it looks like when we choose humility. When we live in the presence of God on a daily basis, okay? So there's a very important phrase, and it's like God just kind of planted it all throughout the Bible, all right? And it's all about what happens when we live in his presence. It's this little phrase, it goes a little bit like this. It says, the Lord was with him. And so I want to show you today what happens when you live life where you're carried by God, where you're lifted high, in honor by him, I want to show you what it's like and the life you can live as God is with you, okay? Now listen, I do not have a perfect track record of doing everything that God has told me to do, okay? But with my whole heart, I'm telling you, I'm trying with all that I am to follow Jesus, okay? And what I'm about to say, I'm not saying any of this to boast or brag, but Rachel and I have made big changes in our lives to do what God has been telling us to do. Years ago, we had a pretty cushy life living in the Kansas City area. We were both had well-paying jobs. We were making bank, and God interrupted us and said, I want you to leave your jobs, and he called me to go to a worship school where I could become a pastor. After I graduated, then we were in a time where we were praying about where God would send us, where I might go be a worship pastor, and we had actually heard about, we knew that there was a church in Las Vegas that was looking for a worship pastor, but get this, Rachel, my wife, she literally said this one day. She goes, well, at least we know we'll never move to Vegas. Some of you don't even know the end of the story, but you still know what's about to happen next, right? Because sure enough, I'm not even kidding. She said that, and it was within a week. The pastor of that church called, asked me if I wanted to interview for that worship pastor position they had, and God began to make it clear that, no, you're moving. Can I just give you a little pro tip? When it comes to the things of God, never say never, because Jesus has a sense of humor, right? That's about the time that he's like, oh, really? Oh, okay. Okay, we actually do say never from time to time now. I say things like this on a regular basis. I say, I will never have a pool and a hot tub in my backyard. I will never own a brand new double cab 4x4 Toyota Tacoma. I wouldn't even want that, never. I'll never be a millionaire. You're not laughing now, but some of you are going to walk out and you're going to start doing this afternoon. God, I'll never do. Okay, all right, we did what God told us to do, okay? We moved to Vegas. Then after a few years, God began to make it clear that he was calling us back here to Newton. And listen, it was my dream to come back here to plant a church. And so here's what happened. One night, it was after dark. I was out in my driveway there in Las Vegas and just looking up at the stars. And we had already committed to the Lord that we would go back here to Newton. So I was worshiping him. I was praying about what it would look like to move back here. And this may sound a little strange at first, but church, I'm telling you, Jesus showed up in my driveway that night. Okay? Like, I just all of a sudden felt the manifest presence, the made known presence. I knew Jesus was standing there with me in my driveway. I mean, it was strong. And I heard Jesus say this. He said, Brandon, I'm here to bless you. Okay? And so much so, I got down on my knees in my driveway that night. Okay, if my neighbors would have seen me, they probably would have thought I was crazy, but who cares? Okay, so, and then I sensed that Jesus came over to me and placed his hand on my head. Now listen, I didn't feel that physically, but that's just what my spirit, I just felt that in my spirit, okay? And listen, I was stoked, okay? Because, come on, Jesus just showed up in my driveway and he just said he's going to bless me. I was ready, come on. I was like, give it to me, Jesus, here we go. And so I felt like he put his hand on my head, and then he just very simply said this, I am with you. And that was it. And I kind of waited for a few seconds, you know, just kind of seeing, is that all? You got any more? Kind of hoping for more? And I was like, I mean, yeah, okay, God, that's, you know, is that the blessing? Okay, that's a good, you know, that's a good blessing. I know you're with me. I mean, that's pretty good, but if you really want to bless me, how about you throw in that double cab 4x4 Toyota Tacoma so we can roll around together in it? Okay, so the next morning, though, I was in the secret place. I was having my quiet time. I was reading my Bible and praying, and I just asked God. I said, God, what did you mean last night when you said you are with me? And that's when I heard God say, son, why don't you just look in your Bible and see what happens when I am with someone? Okay, you guys want to see this? It's amazing, all right? And listen, it's not just for Pastor Brandon. Come on, this is for God's people. This is for you. I want you to see, based on your Bible, what happens in your life when you live life in God's presence, okay? You ready? I'm going to start at the beginning of Genesis, okay? I'm telling you, you can live this way, okay? It's close to the beginning of your Bible. In Genesis chapter 26, there's going to be a whole bunch of verses that come up on the screen. You don't have to turn there, but just follow along, all right? So Genesis 26, verse 3, this is God speaking to Isaac, and he tells him, okay, he's going to tell him, remember, he's going to, we need to do what God says, right? Okay, he's going to tell him something to do. He says, live here as a foreigner in this land. He's going to give him the land of Israel, okay? But this is before that. Live here as a foreigner in this land. Be humble, do what I'm telling you to do, and here's the result. And I will be with you and bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give all these lands to you and your descendants. Genesis 28, 15. To Isaac's son, Jacob, now God says, he says, look, I am with you. And I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. A little bit later, Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and watch the results. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Deuteronomy 31, 8. This is Moses speaking to Joshua. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So Joshua 1, 5. Now this is God speaking directly to Joshua. God says, no one will be able to stand against you for as long as you live. How many of you need some of that in your life? Come on. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Here's more, Joshua 6, 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his reputation, or some translations say his fame, spread throughout the land. Judges 2, 18. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge, or really this was a leader over God's people, over Israel, he was with that judge and rescued the people from their enemies throughout the judge's lifetime. Judges 6, 12, okay? God shows up to a guy named Gideon, who at the time, listen to me, was a nobody. Okay, some of you feel like that with God, like, who am I to God? Okay, but watch how God sees his kids. Watch this. So God shows up. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon, and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. 1 Samuel 3:19, about Samuel. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. 1 Samuel 18:14. This is about David now, okay, but long before he ever becomes king, it says, David continued to succeed in everything he did. Here's why. For the Lord was with him. 1 Kings 11, verse 38. Okay, this is God now speaking to David's son, Solomon. And he's going to tell him to do some things. We got to do what God says, right? He says, if you listen to what I tell you and follow my ways and do whatever God considers to be right, and if you obey my decrees and commands as my servant David did. Again, that's why David had that success. That's why the Lord was with him. He was doing what God told him to do. But watch what God says. Then I will always be with you. I will establish an enduring dynasty for you as I did for David, and I will give Israel to you. 2 Kings 18:7, about King Hezekiah now. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. How many of you need some of that in your life? Come on. And then here's one more. Ezra 7:28. Ezra writes, he says, I felt encouraged because the gracious hand of the Lord, my God, was on me. And what do you think, church? Was that hand holding him down or lifting him up? Come on, this is amazing stuff, isn't it? This is amazing, isn't it? Now everything I read just now was from the Old Testament. I'm gonna tell you, I know some of you guys. Some of you are like, Pastor, I still don't know if this could be possible for me. I just don't know. This is the Old Testament. This is a long time ago. I don't even know if that's still for today. Really? Okay, what if Jesus himself showed up and told you right here and right now that he would be with you? Come on. We're going to the New Testament now. We're going to see what Jesus says, watch this, to his disciples. You following me? This is what Jesus says to his disciples. Matthew 28:19-20. Now, he's going to tell them to do something. Okay, remember, obedience and humility cause us to live in the presence of God. Not doing what God wants, willful disobedience causes us to leave. Okay, so watch what Jesus says, though. He says, therefore, go. My disciples, do this thing right here. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Go do this, and here, watch this, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so stick with me. I got one more. So Jesus told his disciples to go and do this. Well, those first disciples, they took him serious and they went and did it. They started making more disciples. And so fast forward to Acts chapter 11 and watch what happens. Acts 11 verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord, AKA Newton Reborn. Okay, so let me just break down for you what we just read in all these verses, okay? I got some quick points here, but I'm just going to show you what happens based on your Bible, what happens when you live in the presence of God, okay? Here it is. Here's what we saw. Number one, God blesses you tremendously. Number two, God watches over you. Number three, God gives you success in what you do. Number four, God personally goes ahead of you and promises not to abandon you. Number five, God builds your reputation and gives you favor in the eyes of other people. Number six, God gives you wisdom and makes you a reliable person. Number seven, God makes you a disciple maker and uses your life to help other people get drawn out of darkness, which means this. Number eight, you get to live the life of impact and significance as God uses you to see your city reborn. I know there's some of us right now that we're saying, well, I don't know if I could do that because you don't know how much I'm messing up or how weak I am, or I just keep going back to this. And look, I'm not talking about mistakes, okay? I'm not talking about just making mistakes, okay? But what I am telling you today is you and I cannot clean ourselves up and then get to be with God, okay? And so maybe there is even some willful sin in your life or it keeps popping up in your brain saying, I'm going to go do this, okay? But let me ask this. Is there deep down, is there a desire for you where you would say, I really just want to stop, though. I really don't want to go back to this thing. Okay, listen, God can work with that all day long if you'll tell him, God, I really want to stop and I want to do what you tell me to do. I don't want to keep going back to these things. Listen, God will reach his hand down into the darkness to pull you out. He's not waiting on you to get out of it to be with you. He'll be with you as he pulls you out. Are you catching this? God can be with you right here and right now. There's no reason he can't. So ask again today, who wants to live in the presence of God? Come on, who wants God to be with them? Family, I'm telling you, God is saying he loves you and he wants to be with you. He loves you and he wants to pour out his presence into your life in new and exceeding and even surprising ways. He loves you and he wants to lift you up in honor. He loves you and he's saying he's pouring out such a cloud. And listen, for many of you, you need to hear this right now, okay? With so much grace. Listen to me. The cloud that Jesus wants to pour out into your life and all around your life, it is the complete opposite of the cloud you're currently living under. Okay, can we just be real this morning? Just be honest and no hiding, no pretending. Hey, listen to me. Don't raise your hand or anything with what I'm about to ask. But if you're honest this morning, how many of you feel like you're living under a cloud? Like there's been a storm cloud and it's just been over your life for as long as you can remember. Or maybe you know when it showed up, but you've been living under a storm cloud, and no matter where you go, no matter what you do, that thing just follows you around. Okay, listen to me. Here's what I mean. And zero judgment in this place today. You with me? Okay, but if we don't talk about real things, we're not really going to help anybody, right? Okay, so zero judgment. But here's what I mean by a storm cloud or a dark cloud that follows you around. Things never go your way. I mean, maybe for a little while, just when you start to get a taste of success, something else in your life breaks down. I mean, literally, and derails you from the success you were having. So for some of us, it means our relationships, our family relationships, some of our friend relationships, they're just in constant turmoil. And the family we're surrounded with and some of the friends that we've surrounded ourselves with, they keep giving us the worst advice. And they keep sucking us back into the drama. For some of us, just even our own physical health, I mean, our physical well-being is a constant challenge. Something you're in and out of the hospital or the doctor's office on a regular basis. You change jobs often. There's never enough money at the end of the month to pay the bills. You can't shake that addiction. You keep going back to it. You might leave it for a little while. You can't break that habit that's just hurting you. You leave it for a little while, but then something breaks down and you end up going back to it. Okay, it's this cloud. Okay, or maybe some of you aren't experiencing that necessarily, but your stress level is maxed out. Or you're depressed, you're discouraged, you're anxious. And so maybe there isn't actually a cloud over you, but in your mind, the cloud is real. Or your marriage you're just distant and cold. Your marriage is running on empty and you're not close with your spouse. Or other people around you have things that you just want, and you think, man, if I could just have what they have, then I'll be happy. If I could just get that house, or if I could have the kitchen flooring or the finishes over here like this, then that'd make me happy. And so your job then becomes your life. You give yourself to that completely, or money and status is the goal. And meanwhile, your family is getting left in your rearview mirror, and the tension and the heartache are real. Hey, and here's the truth, okay? Some of you have been living under that storm cloud your whole entire life. It's the way your parents lived before you. It's the way their parents lived before them. And it's all you've ever known. Some of us, though, again, with grace, some of us know when the cloud showed up in our lives. Listen, I feel like I've been very blessed by God. I grew up in a wonderful family, okay? I didn't have a cloud over me when I was a kid, but listen to me, I never followed Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus at the age of 24, and leading up to that time, I'm telling you, my life was getting darker and darker and more depressing, and a cloud was forming over my life. You hear me? And I didn't get out on my own by doing things my way or by saying, oh, or just keep going back to the same things. No, it didn't break until the day I gave my life to Jesus. But here's what I mean by that. When I gave my life to Jesus, I was down on my knees and I told him, I want you to be Lord. I don't want to be in charge anymore. I keep messing it up. I keep going back to all these, I keep making a mess of my life. There's a cloud over my life. I need you to break it. I need you, Jesus. I need your ways. That's when, and I didn't clean myself up, but that's when God reached down and began to pull me out of the darkness. I didn't turn perfect overnight, but I'm telling you, he was with me as he began to pull me out. Are you seeing this? So I'm listening to me with him. With him, not without him, but with him, you can leave that dark cloud in the dust. You don't have to stay there, okay? And I'm just gonna tell you like it is. The dark cloud, that represents the cursed life. And some of us get a little offended by that. We say, well, why would a loving God curse me? No, no, it's not that God is cursing you. I promise you, God is out to bless you. It's that we do it to ourselves. We get a little more offended by that. We're like, well, why would I curse myself? Why would I choose these things? Okay, listen. With grace, just take a hard look at your life. I had to take a hard look at my life and the cloud I was under. Because that's what I told God. I said, I'm messing it up. I'm making a mess. Do you see? I'm acknowledging what I'm doing. Take a hard look at your life and that cloud that you're under and those choices you've been making. Okay, has Jesus really been, this is how you can know, okay? Has Jesus really been the focus of your life? If there's a cloud, I want you to take a hard look. Has Jesus really been the focus of your life? Or if you're honest this morning, is he typically an afterthought? Does he usually get the leftovers? Is he something you just, resort to when it gets really stormy and you go to him and, oh, I need you to get me out of this mess. Okay, and here's the other question. Has humility really been your posture? Okay, if you're honest, have you, by your own choices, been living away from the presence of God? Is there sin in your life that perhaps so far you've been unwilling to confront? Is there sin? Are there choices? Are there habits? Or maybe it's just, hey, this is the family way of life as I've always known it. But are there things in your life that keep that cloud hanging over you, but you've been unwilling to give those things up? Okay, and listen, here's how we often justify it. We often justify those things. We say these things, we'll say this to ourselves, and we will verbalize this to other people. We'll say, these things, they don't really matter. These things, they're not a big deal. God still loves me. Okay, these things, even if I do it, God will still forgive me. Okay, yes, he still loves you, but that doesn't mean you are living in his presence the way he wants you to. And that does not mean you're leaving any room in your life for him to bless you. But I'm telling you, family, God wants to give you the blessed life. He wants to give you the blessed life. Some of you need to believe that today. He is not out to get you. It's not by his choices that these things keep happening in your life. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you tremendously. He wants to watch over you. He wants to give you success in all that you do. He wants to personally go ahead of you. He wants to build your reputation and give you favor in the eyes of other people. He wants to give you wisdom and make you a reliable person. He wants to make you a disciple maker and use your life to help other people get rescued from darkness, which means he has a life of impact and significance planned out for you. He wants you to live in it. He wants you to take part in seeing your city reborn. You and I have a choice. Our way or God's way. Either we get to be in charge or humility. Dark cloud or the presence of God cloud? Come on, I'm telling you, it's 2019, church family. You're not here by accident. You're here because God loves you and he wants to break that cloud that you've been under and he wants to pour out the real thing into your life. Now is the time to seek God and break the habit. Now is the time to make the adjustment. Now is the time to humble yourself and leave that sin behind. Now is the time for you to make more room for God. Now is the time to get intentional with him. Now is the time to hit reset. Now is the time to take that next step that God is telling you to take. Some of you say, well, it's too hard, or you don't even know what I'm going through. You don't know the addictions. You don't know what I've been dealing with or the way my family's been. We've just been this way for too long. I don't know how to get out of it. It might be that hard. It might be a struggle. Okay, I'm not doubting that. But listen to me, do you remember all those people that we just read about in our Bible where God was with them? All of them live in the midst of tremendous difficulty. All of them were facing crazy challenges. Joseph, it said the Lord was with Joseph and he was successful in everything he did. Joseph was sold, he was first put down in a well and left for dead by his own family. They only pulled him out so that they could sell him as a slave to foreigners. He was only 17 years old. I don't know if any of us can imagine that, but here's what he did. He humbled himself before the Lord, and the Lord led him to lead a nation. David, when it said he was successful in all that he did, you got to realize this. Three verses before it says that King Saul, the king at the time, tried to murder him with a spear, tried to kill him, and then an army chased him. King Saul and his army chased him for years trying to kill David, yet here's what David did. He humbled himself before the Lord, and the Lord ended up leading him to lead the nation. What makes you think that God can't lead you to the blessed life? Come on, I'm telling you. There is nothing too hard for your God. There is nothing too hard for your God. There's no struggle. There's nothing you've done. There's nothing that's been done to you. There's no sin that's too deep that God can't handle if you'll let him handle it his way. Today is the day to do what God is telling you to do. Okay, and I'm going to give you a heads up. Next Sunday, Pastor Brandt right here is going to preach, and he's going to wrap up our presence series, and it's going to be hot fire. All right? So be here. But 2 weeks after that, okay, I just want to give you a heads up, and this applies to what we're talking about right now, okay? But I want to get us even more ready. All right? 2 weeks from today, we're going to start a new series called Time Capsule. And here's the idea. Where are you at right now, really? What's really going on in your life? Where is the struggle? What's that thing maybe you've been living with for far too long, or you think this is just a way of life right now? No, it's not. Okay? What is the miracle that you need God to do in your life? Well, if you could pray the biggest prayer you've ever prayed, what is that prayer? What do you need God to touch? Okay, listen to me. Privately, I'm not going to make anybody share anything in this series, but privately, we're going to capture those prayers. We're going to capture those struggles, okay? And then here's what we're going to do. We're going to time capsule those things. And here's what I'm asking. What if you give the next year of your life to us here at the gathering? Or really, you're giving it to God. But here's what I mean. What if you, God, here's what I need. Here's the way I need you to touch my life. And then you begin to take the steps that we keep telling you to take. You do what God is telling you to do. Here's what's going to happen. A year from now, we're going to give you the opportunity to see firsthand the way God has shown up in your life. The way God, a year from now, you're going to look back and you're going to be able to see those prayer requests. You're going to be blown away as you follow God, as you've just taken the steps, as God makes a way. Are you with me? So again, this applies to what's happening today. Where are you at right now? What's the struggle? Here's what I really believe. God's saying he wants to pour out such a cloud. He wants you to experience his presence in new and exceeding and even surprising ways. We should, as a church, be able to get to the end of 2019. You should be able to look back on this year and be exponentially amazed by what God has done. Okay, not just averagely, not just normally, but I'm talking jumping for joy, amazed by what God did in your life this year. Such a cloud. I'm talking pass out on the floor amazed. I'm talking slap your mama amazed. I had a pastor from the South years ago. Apparently that's a saying they have there, but don't slap your mom, please. Don't do that. All right, let me show you one more verse, all right? With your Bibles open to Hebrews 12. Okay, listen. This verse that we're going to read shows us what we need to start doing today. And I believe it gives us another picture of what God is going to continue to do all year long and beyond. Okay, here we go. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we, that's you and me, isn't it? That's you and me. Put yourself in this. Since we are surrounded by, watch this, such a great cloud of witnesses. Such a great cloud. That sounds an awful lot like the word God's spoken over our church, doesn't it? Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we'll talk about what that means, and then here's what we need to start doing today, though. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Come on, let's break the dark cloud, church. Let's leave it behind. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let's run to the presence of God. Let's leave that dark cloud in the dust. Let's break the habit. Let's confess the sin. Let's take the step. Let's read our Bibles more than we've ever read our Bibles before this year. Let's pray more than we've ever prayed before this year. Let's enter in and remain and make more and more and more room for the presence of God in our lives. And I believe this with all my heart, that God is saying it. He is going to exponentially take all of us, you and me, he's going to keep adding to our number, and he is going to form us into the cloud of witnesses that this town needs. Listen to me, the witnesses right here in this verse, these are the people that have followed Jesus before us, okay? But now they've gone on to heaven. They are in his literal presence, but they are on the other side of the veil, and some of you don't even know this, but they are watching us. They are cheering us on. They are wanting so bad for you and me right now to join them in living life in the presence of God right here and right now, so that that dark cloud that hangs over your life and your family's life and your friend's life and that dark cloud that hangs over this town, so that thing can get broken and a multiplication of disciples can take place, so that our city can be reborn and beyond. But it's time here and now to shake free from the sin. With humility and with repentance. Watch this. Also with hope and expectation. Come on, don't buy into the lie that repentance somehow means doom and gloom. Are you kidding me? Come on, we say the word repentance around here, we should all go. Because repentance makes my life better. That's the truth. Man, so get your hopes up. Get your expectations up. It's time to enter in and remain and make more and more room for the presence of God in your life. And here's one very practical way I want to invite all of us to do that. Listen, while it's still the beginning of the year, while we still have the opportunity to give the first of the year to God, we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. Some of you may have already started today, but I want to invite everybody who calls the gathering home, would you join us as we humble ourselves and fast together? Okay, today is the start date. I'm asking, would you fast something? Maybe you forgot about it and you haven't started yet. It's okay. It's still early in the day. And we don't have to get religious about it. The point is to seek after God, right? You can start tomorrow. Okay, but what if, I'm asking, would you fast something for the next week? At least a week. Or here's another option. On Friday, February 1st, that's about like 12 days from now, we are going to have a worship night right here. That was awesome. What? I just lost my train of thought, but it was good. What if you fast with us until that night? What if we break our fast then and we show up together here that night and we worship Jesus? It's going to be powerful. OK, okay, but so here's the idea. We're not just going on a diet. So I'm asking, would you fast something? Would you fast? Maybe it's food or certain foods or maybe social media. We're not just going on a diet or anything like that. The idea is to empty ourselves or to empty our schedules. If we're not doing social media or something, whatever we would normally fill our time with, give that time back to God. Seek Him in the Word. Seek Him with prayer. Ask God to do a miracle. I heard about one woman this last week. She's fasting TV. She's giving that time back to Jesus. I heard about a woman last week. She shared this with me. It's so awesome. She had thought we started fasting earlier, but she came up and she said, I've been fasting makeup all week long. Get this. She told me it added about 45 minutes to her time with Jesus in the morning. That's called making room, right? Now, I don't want to hear about anybody fasting showers this week, okay? We still got to do church together, all right? But make room. And listen, here it is, though. Man, throughout the Bible, fasting was the time when they would turn to God when they needed a miracle. So what's the miracle? What's the struggle? Where are you really at? If God could answer that biggest prayer, if God could touch your life in the way you need Him to touch, what is it? What's that way? And what if you fast and pray and ask God to do the miraculous in your life? Give the supernatural God room to show up and be supernatural. Amen? And watch what He's going to do in your life. I'm telling you, let's make more room. God wants to bless you tremendously. He wants to watch over you. He wants to give you success in all that you do. He wants to give you wisdom and make you a reliable person. He wants to make you a disciple maker and use you to see this city reborn. Amen. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? How do you need to respond to Him? How do you need to say, yes, Lord, today? How do you need to enter in or make room? And listen to me, this is a way to enter in. This is humbling yourself, is when you just say, God, here's what I'm struggling with. I need you to come help me out of it. Reach out to Him. He's reaching out to you. Take a step towards God. He'll take a step towards you. So what if with humility you acknowledge to Him, God, here's the need, and I know You're the only one that can truly help me. God, I need Your forgiveness. I need Your help. I need Your guidance. I need You to reach down and grab my life. I need You to take hold of me. And God, I want to do it Your way. Come on, God answers that prayer. If we mean it, and listen to me, don't just mean it right now. Mean it tomorrow morning as well. God loves to meet you right then and right there. He loves. I'm telling you, we keep doing this. We keep showing up together. You're going to have a year like you've never had before. You're going to look back and be amazed. The journey can start right now. Jesus, I pray over this incredible church family. I know there are some very real prayer needs going up before You right now. I know there's some very real struggles, and we're saying, Jesus, we need Your help. And so we humble ourselves together, and we're going to commit. We say, just commit to Him. Say, Jesus, I'm doing it Your way. I'm sorry I've done it my way for so long, or I'm sorry I haven't even believed in the past that maybe You could do something about this, but I've changed my mind, and I believe today, and I'm inviting You, come and have Your way in my life. Lord, come and have Your way in this church family. Would You bless us? Would You meet us as we fast together? God, use us to see this city reborn. Have Your way. Break the dark cloud and pour out Your presence, we pray. In the name of Jesus, and my whole family said, amen. Can we thank Jesus together for what He's doing in this place, church? Thank You, Lord. Thank You.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.